Welcome everybody, this is RO, Russians About the World, a show where two friends talk about what's going on in this world.
Okay, my name is Vlad and his name is Arty, and today we are talking about coronavirus and everything around it. So, what should we start with? Should we talk numbers or...
Hi, Vlad. I think it's interesting to, as it develops, talk about what's the situation in Russia here, because it started a little bit later than in other countries.
And yeah, well, maybe it would be cool. Oh, okay. We have a small gap there. I think it's okay still. I think it would be great if we can talk about numbers, not only in Russia, but maybe do a kind of comparison of what's happening in different countries and what kind of measures are implemented by the government or by... Well, it's even more interesting to maybe talk about how people are facing all this situation and what are their actions in different countries, because I know that you can talk about not only Russia but Spain as well, because you have your like family living there, and I also do some kind of an observation in terms of numbers, so I can talk Russia and some other countries.
Yeah, definitely, because the situation in Spain, it's as you know, as all the people know, it's one of the worst countries hit by the coronavirus, but the measures that they take, it's very different from Russia, and I think from, well, from the US, for example.
Well, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
Because, well, if we talk about Russia, it's also different, you know, because situation in Moscow and in other parts of Russia is like similar to like different countries, I think. So it's interesting to discuss that as well. So what's the situation in Spain? I heard that it's like it became like number one country. Even the situation is even worse than in the Italy, when it was like the main problematic country.
It was at some parts, and with the number of infections, because it's over 200, it's 220, I think, 200,020 right now. And in Italy, it's a little bit less, but Italy has more number of deaths. So right now, it's like if you count the infected, if you count the infected people, it's the second after the US. But if you count the deaths, I think it's the third one after US and Italy. Yeah. The thing is, Spain, it's in full lockdown. It's the state of emergency right now, and for like 1 month and a half. And it's very restrictive, because you cannot go outside for just like nothing, for no one purpose otherwise that to go with your dog, to walk with your dog, to go shopping, you know. A lot of companies closed, because the people like or like working at home, or they don't work, so they just fired. Well, they're not fired, because they have this temporary, they are temporary fired. So the government pays the 70% and the company pays the 30%. So this is the difference, as far as I know, with Spain compared with other countries. But the situation in Russia, as you know, it's we need to say this, because Russia is a very big country, as it is China. But I think it's even more different here than in China, because even the salary, it's the difference is very huge. The quality of life, you know, if you take Siberia in comparison with Moscow, with St. Petersburg. So Moscow right now is the most affected area, and we are not in full lockdown as it is in Spain, but we are in like partially lockdown, not state of emergency, just. Self-isolation is like a bullshit that the government invent to keep us in our houses, But you yeah. right now you have this digital pass that you need to register in the in the Moscow local page official.
Yeah,
and you have this digital QR code that you can use like to go outside, not to go for shopping to the closest supermarket or to go to take your dog out. But if you want to go to, for example, for work, you need like fill this blank and say that I'm going to work. Or if you are going to, I don't know, you have like 2 days in a week, in a week that you can go for your own purpose. So you can like just, imagine if you were in Moscow and I want to go to your house, I can just fill this this blank and put like I'm going out for my own purpose. So I was out, I returned from my friend's house on Monday, and the streets were full of cars and of people walking, like I don't know for what purpose. But I was quite surprised because the media and the television are always telling us that the streets are empty, but it's not true, you know. The streets are like, the situation is, among the people, is like the same as it is on a morning of Sunday, something like that.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, we can track the situation on the street using Yandex, and they have this, you know, like a number saying that what kind of situation is, like the same with the traffic jam, and like they have like a 3, and it means that too much people on the street, so they like recommend you not to go out. So do you have that kind of a digital pass or that QR code?
Yeah, of course I have it, because it's like it's compulsory right now to have it. And if you don't have it and you go like more for 100 meters from your closest supermarket, they can find you with like 4,000 euros, I think, or 5,000 euros. So it's
in Russia.
Yeah.
4,000 euros.
No, 4,000 rubles. Sorry.
That was like pretty crazy. And I have, it's funny because I have some numbers in front of me, and it's just an interesting sideline that I would like to mention, because you touched the numbers and the, you know, the average quality of life in Russia compared to other countries. And I have these numbers where Russia is compared to countries like Baltic countries like Estonia, Lithuania, and that kind of countries. So for example, in Russia we have like, well, no, let's start with Estonia actually. So in Estonia they have an average salary of 1500 euros, and the minimum salary is like it's close to 600 euros, which is pretty good. But I think also Estonia is pretty advanced country in terms of like quality of life. And for example, if we compare that to Russia, the average salary is 500 euros and the minimum is 146 euros.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I cannot imagine. Because it's crazy. It's really crazy.
And I touched those numbers because it also shed some light on how different situation in Russia is in different parts of the country, because in Moscow salaries are definitely higher and the quality of life is high as well. And the situation, as you've already mentioned, is worse actually, because a lot of people are infected and still a lot of people are on the street, and well, they have a kind of like strict measures applied, but I cannot say that like it's actually strict, right, compared to Spain, for example. I also would like you to tell more about Spain's situation. And for example, in the in Siberia, in the part of, in Siberian part of Russia where I'm currently based at, we have no feeling of coronavirus consequences, actually. So people do like almost the same stuff as they usually do. Like they go for the most of the companies are working. Well, of course, we have all the like restaurants and coffee shops closed and like all the public places. But on the other hand, the most public places here are supermarkets and, you know, department stores. And actually those are open because people have to buy food, right? And that is why like you still have a lot of people going here and there, and actually people are walking outside, and we have these warm spring days, so people are actually fine, except they are like wearing gloves and masks, but nothing more like, you know, stressed. Everybody is not stressed out or something like that, because we have no cases happening there. And well, me as a father of a small kid and having a family and parents living here, I feel like actually I'm pretty happy that we didn't go to Moscow by this time or like we planned, actually. So yeah, I think it's just a good luck here. But what about your parents and Spain? You said that did I hear that right? Like they the government is paying 70% of salary, or is it?
It is. Yeah, because but it's not for all the people. It's just if you are working in a company and they have this temporary fire thing that they can fire, not fire you. They can like freeze your salary. They go and they can pay you like 30%, and the rest, and the rest is paid by the government. This happened to a lot of my friends there that were working in a company, and right now they just receive part of the salary from the government, and the other part is from the employee.
Are they working at the moment, or like people in Russia are working remotely, or?
Yeah, this is the thing. This is for the people that continue to work remotely. This is the best case scenario, you know, because there are a lot of cases that the employees are just like fired and that's all. So, imagine people like people that work in restaurants, or people like they work in bars.
Tourism.
And a lot of these people working in like very, very small salary or even part-time. So it's more difficult, you know, this situation. Or they even working on illegally. Yeah, you know, because it's very common even in Spain to work like illegally in restaurant, and you can't have like this contract where officially you work in like 10 hours or 20 hours, but then you work like 50 hours or 40 hours. Yeah, so it's very common. And also the situation is very difficult for the people, like they work for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
They have
entrepreneurs.
Not entrepreneurs with a company, but I mean, they have this...
solo entrepreneurs.
Like teachers that they work for, like they go into houses and they just like offer their services. Yeah. So yeah, it's that in that case they're gonna help with some hundred of euros to also help them. They're gonna try to not just kill all the small. It's not even a business. It's like where you work by yourself, you know, like you, for example, you don't have a company, so you work. You also work in a company, but you have IP.
If we talk about my IP, IPs, like solo I don't know how to translate it. Well, it's sole entrepreneur, and it's actually a legal term, the same as it is in the world. And actually, like, it's like a company, and I also pay taxes and stuff. But I should say that it is referred for like to a micro business, I think, in every country. That kind of people that you described, it's like micro businesses. And actually, it's a very important part of every government economy. And I think those people are really having hard times, and even in Russia. And in Russia, they have no help at all.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yesterday, yeah. I saw like a video of a recent meeting at president's office. So yeah. Our president Putin, he met small and medium-sized businesses representatives, and there was like, maybe you saw that video, it was like a hyped video in the media this week. So there was like a woman, she has actually it's like a medium business, I think, because she has like a children restaurants mm-hmm. all over the Moscow and also Russia. So it's like a huge franchise. And she was asking like some favors for SMBs from Putin. Yeah. And she was like describing the situation that is happening from her own point of view. And it was like an interesting moment that I it's just a flashback in my mind at the moment. She was like crying. She was sitting and crying, like asking him to apply some to give some help to businesses, because it's a core of the economy, actually. And in Russia, actually, I cannot say that it's like at the moment it is a core of economy, because we have like I don't remember the exact number, but it's like 60% of government monopolies in our GDP. So all the other 40% are like applied to those like SMBs, I think. But that is why it's not the core of economy. But it was just interesting, you know, to see that kind of like, you know, she was crying.
Yeah,
and
yeah, and
she was arguing with him, and it's something that she said that like, I was asked not to argue with the president, but can you just give me a chance to describe my position?
Yeah.
And everyone, the faces of other people were like like that.
But as far as I remember, she referred to her own business like a small or even micro business right now, because Anderson, the coffee franchise, the restaurant franchise, is like, it's not so big as it is McDonald's, you know, or other
for
restaurants.
Sure.
Yeah, but imagine if that's a micro business, what happened with people that they just have like one coffee shop in Moscow or like one restaurant in Moscow. It's like, it's an existing business. Yeah. So. But I think she's completely right, because I think we need to explain to the foreign people, to people like the listeners from other countries, that here we don't have the state of emergency. So legally, you need to still pay for the rent of the place that your coffee is, or your restaurant or your business is. So, but these coffees and this restaurant, they cannot work. So you need to still pay in the rent, but you don't have incomes, or if you are a coffee or a restaurant or like some food business, you just can do this delivery, you just have the delivery option, but it's still a very small. So This is the problem, that the Russian people wants the government to apply the emergency stay, the emergency situation, so the businessmen and all the people can receive some money from the government to don't pay rents and free, like froze the credits and that stuff. Well, they already try to like throw some credit, but still it's a catastrophic situation because you still need to pay this debts. Like it's just postponed, you know. It's that, so it's a catastrophe, I think.
Yeah, well, but, and now imagine the same situation, but here in Bratsk, for example, where I'm currently based, and imagine the same single coffee shop owner who has to close it, and he has no option to they're struggling. Even we don't have Yandex delivery here. We don't have that kind of, you know, Uber Eats or something like that. We don't have like some infrastructure to for that kind of restaurants to switch to the delivery. We have like a couple of deliveries here, but for example, coffee shops are struggling. They cannot, like, they have a shop, but they have to close the their restaurant, so they cannot sell.
But I don't think this is a problem, because for a restaurant, because at least for the delivery part, because you don't have an aggregator like Uber Eats or like in Russia Yandex, but you still have a car and you still have people that can deliver this food to your house.
Yeah, but they cannot keep the their place open to actually provide the their supplies, you know, because they have like a single.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Well, but I haven't seen any actions. Like, I saw that they were trying to do, this coffee on the go, but they had to close even that. So I'm not sure if they are working at the moment.
So in Bratsk is a very small city from Siberia, for our audience who know it.
Yeah.
It's like
250,000 people.
Something like that. It's small in Russia, but it's still a big city in Europe if you take these numbers, you know.
Spain,
it's not so small city.
But you it's also like should China, consider you know, the that the like the quality of life and the economy of that kind of city in Russia is quite different from the European city, similar city in Europe.
Of course, yeah. And this is a problem of our government, because they don't develop the small cities in Russia. They just develop the biggest one.
Yeah, and, I think it's another topic to discuss. I think it's really interesting to dive into that as well. And by the way, what's about your parents, how they are doing? Because they are living in a small city and they are like, they are not working in a Spanish company. So like, how are they doing?
Yeah, they are locked in our house, and they just like waiting to the moment that it's all gonna stop and finish, you know, and they can like walk outside and do the normal life as the rest of Spain. But I just speak yesterday with my friends from San Sebastian.
Yeah.
It's a northern city of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Of Spain, yeah, and we are talking about this because we have a common friend that runs a pizza restaurant.
Yeah,
it's a small restaurant. Yeah, so as we talk, it's like he only has like this restaurant. So the situation is, he tried to deliver pizzas at home, but the thing is, like, people usually buy the same brands of pizza, the famous one. Pizza Hut or like Telepizza in Spain, or like McDonald's or like Burger King. So this is, I think the situation with this is that probably he will need to close for 3 or 4 months after this end, because if he didn't already close, because it's very difficult to pay the rent, you know. Yeah. When you don't have customers and when you don't have like people eating in your restaurant, because of this, I think the world is gonna be like more dependent from the big companies again, you know. This is gonna be a reset. I think it's kind of a reset, and we're gonna be more dependent from the biggest companies. Because imagine a scenario when this our common friend stops his own business and goes for Telepizza,
yeah,
because he already have a lot of experience in pizza market, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just this situation. It can be compared with the situation where giant companies buy small companies, you know.
Yeah.
To be bigger. So this is like a natural selection, and this is horrible because in Russia it's gonna happen the same. The small, you know, the trainers that used to work in a small gym, they're gonna go for a biggest gym that's gonna survive this crisis,
yeah.
And they're gonna ask for work there. So in the end, we're gonna have just in a place where now or before the crisis, we had like this small coffee shop. We're gonna have a McDonald's, for example, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think McDonald's, they still make a lot of money, because when I answered to the app for Eat or something like that, McDonald's, Burger King, all this Pizza Hut, they always in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they have the huge, because the people don't have money to buy like something from a local restaurant, because a local restaurant, it's more elaborated. It's not so fast food.
Yeah.
So you need to spend more. They don't have this logistic system to deliver your food. So
right.
The cost of the shipping is bigger. So it's sad.
Yeah, well, I think in Moscow they still have a chance because of the aggregators and the opportunity to use Yandex infrastructure or other companies who are helping actually like get their helping small businesses to like to switch to the delivery and offer their infrastructure. And I'm not agree with you on that point that only big companies will survive. First of all, for example, in Russia, nothing will change in that matter, because we still have like it is like that already for years. All the big companies are buying smaller ones, and we have like some exceptions like Dodo Pizza, who is like who understands the situation that is happening here it's happening in the world, that you should invest in the infrastructure and in IT system and to like to do a good marketing, and that is why they are like acting fast, and they are faster than our like biggest companies. While they are still big, they are also like, you know, they still have this startup approach, and I feel like actually market is not working like that. In Russia, we still have like considering that we have like monopoly or something like that, like big companies running the market, right? We still have like capitalism here, the same as it is in US and all the other countries. And the market, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't,
of course,
help
yes.
only big companies. On the contrary, after all this situation ends with that coronavirus, and we definitely need to reflect on when it will end, by the way. I think that, it might be like small companies will close. But after some time, some people will,
of course,
like invest or like take some credits, or they will and take money from the bank or something like that, and they will invest in building new businesses. So it will be more like a rebirth and like a new market creation, I think. And it's critical for Russia, by the way. Well, what is my opinion about that is that the situation is getting funny for Putin and for his like people, because they are not used to the that kind of speed, that kind of pace of changes, and they actually, it feels like they don't fully understand how to act in that situation. However, they actually, they've been they survived like at least three crises in Russia, right? At least. And they remember 90s when
survived. Well, of survived, yeah, in
well,
terms of
I
life.
Mean,
but...
I mean, these people, they went through those crises starting from 90s and they still here. So they definitely are pretty smart to learn from that, right? But it feels like something has changed these days, and I actually feel like it is the weakest time of their like leadership, you know. That is my personal opinion.
Of course, because this is the biggest crisis since in the world since the World War II.
Yeah, but I remember when we were like talking 2 months ago, it wasn't felt, we didn't feel like that. We were like, hey, it's again something like peak flu or something, and it will just pass away.
But it's normal because this is a thing that develops very quick. And when you're in the beginning, I think just I don't know, like Bill Gates and five more people predicted this case scenario, you know, because we cannot imagine something like I watched an interview yesterday with one of the franchise restaurant, and they 1 year ago they sit with their, you know, with their
top management,
with their most of the management table, and they will discuss what the crisis scenarios that can happen in the future and how it can affect the business. And they will like they were debating about this the war scenario, you know, the economic crisis, the oil, the prices of the oil, and how it will affect. But no one reflect about the pandemic scenario, you know. And in the world, just like 5 or 10 companies in the world predicted this, and one company, I don't remember the name, but they have this committee for the emergency cases, and they were preparing this if this happens, you know, because it's very difficult to predict. But I think you say something very interesting about the surviving crisis. But it's true that we already, Russia passed a lot of crises, but at what price, you know? Because right now our ruble is like 77 rubles, it's like $1, and 83 rubles is €1. This is catastrophic for Russia, you know, because the number usually don't lie. And if you compare the inflation during the last 10 years, and you compare it with the as you say, the medium income of Russians during the last 10 years, it almost didn't change a lot, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, but one thing that changed a lot, it's the price of the dollar and the euro. Because 10 years ago, if I don't lie, $1 it costs a lot of 35 rubles, yes?
Yeah.
Something like that.
33, yeah.
Yeah, it's like right now, it's not even 200% more. It's like even more of that. So this is catastrophic because the people still making the same amount of money, but if they want to go outside, or if they want the food, the price of the food and the rent, it's always go high. because of the inflation, because of the dollar, because it's we need to also say about Russia in terms of gastronomy. They are not good, so they produce like some medium quality, like cheese, jam, like beer, alcohol. We just can produce vodka, and this is a fact, a good vodka. The rest of the things, we just import them from other, from Europe and from other countries. So yeah, this is where I was analyzing the numbers.
Yeah,
and like I saw a video of my friend. He some home video that he was like traveling in Europe 10 years ago. I think it was Egypt or something like that. And he was like, wow, this is very expensive because our ruble is like 35. And I went, wow. So 10 years ago, the ruble was 35. But right now, and then it was expensive. So he wants to rent some car or something like that. And he was like, wow, this is expensive. But right now, it's not even expensive. It's like... It's like much, much, much more expensive. So,
yeah,
this is that we need to understand for the foreign people that our ruble is getting more weak, and the people are getting more poor, yeah. And that's why franchises like McDonald's, Burger King's, KFC, it's very, very popular here. Not because, yeah, of course, it's because it's fast food, but in some situation, it's because it's more cheaper. And this fancy restaurant that they are struggling right now, I think they're gonna die. A lot of them, not all, of course, but new restaurant, if they're gonna reborn, as you say, they're gonna be like more medium level, you know, not like high level or something like that. Because imagine an entrepreneur right now or in the future, he's gonna it's good to take for me a credit from the bank to invest this in a restaurant. Imagine if a new pandemic happened in like 5 or 10 years. It's going to be the best thing because to build a business, you know it, you need like 5-10 years to build a solid business terms of restaurants, something like that. Well, I'm not an expert, but as I listen, it's something like that. So it's not like you start a restaurant and in 1 year you're already a millionaire because you have a lot of credits and you have a lot of debts. So I don't know what's going to happen, but right now, I am in shock a little bit because the government, I don't know if they know something that we don't know, but seems like they don't know a shit. And we just go with the Titanic to the iceberg.
Yeah, well, the situation is definitely interesting how it would turn out for... the political leadership. And actually, have you saw the pace of new government of a new prime minister Mishustin, who is started working, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, right? And you cannot say that they are slow as before, right? Because they are like they are stamping the laws and edits to the laws like I don't know, on a weekly basis, I think, or maybe monthly
it's
basis.
Crazy, yeah.
And for Russia, I just would like to maybe explain. Usually, our government was like, if they need to do some kind of financial or tax laws or edits to the existing laws, it was like passing through the different committees and stuff, and it was like it takes usually a couple of months to actually to sign that law for president, right? And these days they are working like they are working every week. We see some kind of like things happening, and the laws are being signed up, and new edits coming up, and new stuff is popping up. We can we can discuss the quality of those decisions, but definitely those decisions are happening, and they are like, you know, they are like the steps, they are leading to something, and we actually don't know what would happen next, but I definitely feel like it is not a usual situation. Yesterday I saw a post by Pavel Durov, who is not living in Russia by these days, but he's Russian, and he's like, we can say that he's like a kind of political victim living outside Russia, and
in exilation.
Yes, and also he's a businessman and visionary. So he said that the world is not going to be the same anymore after that pandemic, actually. So it's not only related to Russia, but to the all the other world. But he definitely is talking about like Russia, at least, because he's interested in how Russia could change.
Yeah, listen, Vlad, this is what happened in Moscow right now. We wake up every morning and we have a new law, you know, in respect of something. Yeah. Like every morning we have something new. Now we have these digital passes that it's we still don't understand why we need to fill some registration to go out for our purpose. You know, I think it's quite stupid, because if I have my own purpose, why I need to do a registration? I need to have a passport. So I can say just, yes, I am going to my own purpose, but, they find us if we go outside without this, QR codes. But this wasn't even legal until last 2 weeks, you know, because we don't have the state of emergency. And without the state of emergency, you have the rights of the free circulation for the people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all changing very, very fast. And as I said, every 1 or 2 days we have like this new law. And I read that they have like one plan for a law when the policeman can register your car or something like that during the pandemic. This is going crazy, and I think they make this decision very, very quick, because the situation it's changing very, very fast. As we were talking in February, we are like all like, okay, this is some China stuff, we don't gonna have it here, but right now it's like I don't trust the numbers, but we have like 60,000 right now in Russia of cases. But also the cases started very, very they started to grow very, very fast because of the test, not because there wasn't cases in Russia, you know. Yeah. Because in like 1 day we have like 2 cases, and the other day we have like 10,000 cases. Well, it's because of the test, of course. It's not because of the people. I assure that when it's all started in January, in February, there were a lot of people here with the symptoms, and maybe some of them died without knowing that they have the coronavirus. And it's this kind of world that we live right now. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I want to discuss with you is the future, because right now it seems that it can go more than 2020, you know, it can be like 2021, because the borders in Europe, I read that they're going to be closed until March of the next year. And China, it's already closed their border. Also, we have our border closed. So the people are afraid to go, because this virus, the problem with this virus is like it can mutate. It also can, we can have a second wave of infections if the people go out very, very fast, you know?
Yeah.
So it seems like it's going to be like 1 month and then we go out. But if we look to Spain, it's not that easy. And I think if we don't want to have this situation in Russia, I don't know even what's the solution, or because lockdown people like for 2 or 3 months more, it's devastating for the economy and for the people in first place. So yeah, of course the world is not going to be the same, because this crisis happened, I read that happened like 1 in 100 years, you know, this pandemic that affects all the world.
It's
like I think
I think that it will end. Well, my feeling is that it definitely will end up until the May, until the end of May at least, and maybe June. But yeah, it's definitely something that I wasn't actually expecting at all, because I was planning to visit Moscow in June, and now all the plans are being canceled. And yeah, but I don't think that governments and countries will actually be closed in terms of like tourism and that kind of stuff for a long time, because it will just kill all the tourism industry, which is huge. And at some point they will have to allow people to travel, and also I think that they will have to think about some kind of, you know, additional measures to actually help people to travel, because otherwise, as you said, people are like scared, and they are, actually will be really hard to move somewhere to start traveling. It will be just psychologically complicated for a lot of people who are scared, or who like felt the consequences of that virus. And what I feel like the government should think about how they can help people to start traveling again, like, you know, some more interesting visa permissions,
like some programs to help people to travel, to make the visas easy.
Yeah, yeah, the people, definitely, but they should think about making visas easy at some point, but also I think they will think about how they can control the quality of people incoming in terms of their health, right? Because everyone will be for the next at least 1 or 2 years, governance will be like super conscious about people who are visiting their countries, and every country would be doing that, like checking the temperature, I think. And have you seen these videos from US border? They were like huge rows, huge lines of people, and everyone is getting checked. And I think that is really problematic, but also it's something that countries will be doing for a while.
You're right in terms of helping people to travel and to get confidence again to do the normal life, because tourism, it's a very big economy. So, but I think you're very optimistic in terms of dates, because the tourism in Europe, at least, it's gonna be the last thing that the government is thinking right now, because it takes a lot of risks to bring people to do this circulation, to restore the circulation of people in Europe and from outside.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
It's like this virus happened, expanded because of that, you know, because of people moving from Europe. It's very open. They have this Schengen zone and a lot of circulation happening like every day, every second. So I think, yes, but I'm very, very sure that this summer, at least in Spain, it's gonna be without tourists. That's for sure. They already decided.
Yeah, that's
because
sure.
It's very, very soon to allow people to travel. Because imagine like people from China coming to Spain, people from Spain coming to the different countries. So I think this scenario that you explained is gonna happen after the local epidemic ends, and they will. And at first, I don't know. I think it's gonna be different in terms of free circulation, even in Europe, because with this Schengen zone, I think it can be even the end of the Schengen zone. I think they're gonna be more restrictive. Not they're gonna like check more.
Yeah.
They don't gonna give you a visa more easier. They're gonna just like, okay, why you need to travel here? And they're going to think, okay, how many tourists we can bring in this country, or from yeah. people from, imagine if there's another break or virus break in the world, they're going to like, oh, okay, so we cannot like take tourists from this part of the world because it can be, it can repeat the scenario of the coronavirus. So I think when it all ends, the Schengen zone is going to change a lot because the government don't want another crisis like that, I think. So
yeah, well, for me as a Russian person, it doesn't actually change something because we already have some huge restrictions to visit Europe, and it's kind of like a complicated. Well, I'm comparing that to Southeastern Asia, where you can just go there for like 30 or 60 days and travel, or Georgia, for example, where Russians can travel for like for a yeah. year. They can stay there for a year, and that kind of legislation, I really like that actually, and that's why Georgia is number one country that we would like to visit. And
yeah, I just expect that this crisis don't yeah. cut the freedom of the people in terms of circulation and in terms of basic basic freedom that we all have, like going out and travel. Yeah. Because imagine if we need like this. If we need to have these digital QR codes, like to travel even from one country from one city, from another to another, it's gonna be like, it's gonna be the George Orwell world, you know, the mm-hmm. dictatorship state where the government knows every move and they know how is your health and they know where you buying your food, where you're traveling, what car you're using right now, what what you're eating.
But I think you're underestimating what's happening right now. I mean, I feel like it's already happened.
Yeah, it's already happened.
And people just don't know that. For example, have you saw this news that Google and Apple are collaborating in terms of some kind of an app that helps you to track people infected with COVID-19. Yeah. So
in Russia, we have the same.
They say they have, like, you know, they say that it's like for mm-hmm. your yeah. own purpose, and your like it's privacy is number one here. And you are doing that only by your yeah. own will, so you can just install the app and allow it to track you only because you just want yeah. that. But you know, in Moscow we have like this cameras thing that improved a lot these days, and they are able to track people like basically almost everywhere, right? And I think it's already happened, and not only in Russia, but definitely in China, and I think even in
US. But do you think it's one step more to this war, to this totalitarianism?
Like, are you asking if there is more room to grow?
Yeah, if this virus will grow on these measures of controlled people, you know, and they will explain us that it's for your own benefit and for your own health, but we need to know where you're living, and we need to know what food you're eating, and we need to know where you taking your car, where are you right now, and what are you doing. Because
well,
they already are very
they
interested.
Already know that. They already know that because we have a lot of apps installed in our phones that are actually doing that kind of tracking. So people just don't think about that. And I should mention that in Russia, people actually are really not concerned about privacy, and they're like, they don't understand the economy of that century, that data is like that it has a really high value, yeah, actually, because for a long time people in Russia, well, I talk it because I remember it from myself, several years ago, even working in digital, I was like, I wasn't paying attention to my personal data. I was like, well, okay, I can share it if they need me to upload like my passport ID or yeah, something. If they need it, I can upload it, and it's not a problem, because why they would need that, right? And now we see that people are like started to think about like, wow, actually it's something important, and I shouldn't be sharing this information to like even your email and your phone number became something that people are started to think that if they should share that or not and how to use
that.
But
can we live today without sharing all our data with this with these programs and with this I don't know, government tools? Because if I read something interesting in your Twitter account, I think yesterday, that you have this trouble to access to Facebook, and you remind that we don't actually own our social networks and we just rent them. So
yeah, we don't own our accounts on social media, because those are like the platform property and you are like renting it.
Yeah.
For free, but it's not actually for free, because you are sharing all of your data and they are showing your ads, showing you some ads and stuff.
But can we have some, will we have in the future some alternatives to that, you know, some fair services that maybe they're not going to be for free, but they will not share our data? You mentioned Power Durov as well, the CEO of Telegram, and former CEO of VK, of the Russian Facebook. I know, he tries to you know, to offer us alternatives to this. To these social networks and to these chats, then they don't share information with the government, and it's private. Our data is safe. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of a controversial thing, because the first thing to understand, we don't know that, because they still use some kind of hardware, like servers where they store their data, and servers that help their app to operate, right? And of course they are telling us that it's like it's secured, it's private, and they already like they've done all the job about that, but we don't know that. And I see, like, I'm watching this guy, Artemy Lebedev. He is like one of the major digital market persons who started his digital and, well, design agency in early 90s, when like internet only appeared in Russia and people have no clue what to do there. He was like building his business there, and he was making first websites, and he was selling it. So he's like one of those people who actually understood the importance of internet by that time, that early. And he was living there for all his life, and he was blogging a lot. And he's actually like a smart guy, but also he's like kind of eccentric. So he's like, he loves hype, and he loves to share some kind of, you know, controversial. Yeah, he likes money, and he likes to share controversial opinions on different kind of things. And what he's saying is that for sure Pavel Durov is selling data for at least to US and to Russia, but also to other countries as well. And it's just it's just a joke that he's telling all the people that it's like their data is private. But yeah, well, I truly believe that Pavel is trying to do a good thing here, and I would like to believe that. Well, I'm using Telegram a lot, and I just love this app as an instant messenger because it's the best one in terms of performance and like design, and they're actually working a lot on to make it work perfectly. So yeah, it's good, but I think in that kind of age, you cannot if you have that kind of a secret, like that you have some data and you are selling it, but you are telling everybody that in public you are telling that all of the data is private. There will be definitely a moment when
you will be in trouble. Yes,
it means like somebody is already working on
getting your data.
Somebody, because there are a lot of hackers and just people who actually already don't need money, but people who loves, you know, to have fun, or sometimes they would love to, you know, to expose different people who are lying to the world. And they are pretty skilled to actually find the gaps. And if they would find out that something is not right here, they will definitely share that with the world. And that would be the moment, like on that kind of meme. That was the moment when he understood. So, yeah, that's my opinion on that. And so
we will see what is going to happen in the next month or in the next year.
Yeah. I think we will keep up on that topic, and we will be.
It's the only topic right now, or one of the only.
Yeah, well, I actually don't think that it's the only topic to discuss. There are still a lot of things to cover, and we have like a good opportunity to actually find our place to share our thoughts and opinions and some insider information from people living in Russia to the whole world. Of course, our English is not perfect, so
I'm sure, sorry for that.
We are sorry for that, but it's the only chance how we can express our thoughts at the moment, and we are still working on improving that. And we will be happy to hear all of your opinions and advices and critics, for sure, to make the podcast even better. So, yeah, just a short...
Or just better.
Yeah, or just better. But I think it's just important to mention that.
But yeah, thank you very much all for listening to us, and you know, hit the subscribe button or whatever button do you have in this podcast places. And thank you, Vlad.
Thank you, Artie. See you next time.